This is Contractor Sense with Ruth King.
Welcome to Contractor Sense. Here you discover ideas, tactics, news, and information that matters to your contracting business and you. I'm your host, Ruth King. This episode is sponsored by HVAC Trust Books. Go to HVACTrustBooks.com to discover how this tool can help you close more sales. Thank you for joining us. Here is how we will help your business and you today. The late, great business philosopher Jim Rohn said that we should think like a squirrel. Think like a squirrel? What was he talking about? His comments were that squirrels think winter all summer and think summer all winter. So in the summer, they are preparing for winter. They gather and store acorns. And in the winter, they are wishing for summer and eating the scores of acorns that they have saved. So what does this have to do with us? Hopefully you've had a great cash flow positive summer. Let's save some of that positive cash flow for winter. Today I will discuss five critical cash procedures for summer and winter. Let's get started. I find that the more the cash that a company has, the more it has a tendency to become really complacent. That means great cash flow gives a false sense of security, and many contractors have a tendency to relax and pay less attention. And I see this happen every summer, and I see it when there are great stores of cash saved up. Not a good idea. So, when cash is great because everyone is working overtime, this is the most important time to pay strict attention to cash. So here are five things to remember all the time, and especially to pay attention to when it's hot. Number one, make sure that all paperwork for all finance jobs gets submitted. And I talked a lot about this in last week's Contractor Sense podcast, as one of the really stupid things that contractors do in the summer is that they don't get the paperwork signed and they don't bill because they, quote unquote, are so busy they don't have time to bill. If I hear that one more time, I think I'm going to throw up. If you have time to do the job, you have time to bill the job. It is incredibly important, obviously, to get paid for the work that you do. So even if you have to work an extra hour a day, get the billing out, and even better, for most residential, it's COD. So at the end of the job, somebody goes back and collects a check. Some of you have your lead installers collect the check. Other of you have your salesperson, comfort consultants, design specialists, or whatever you call them, go back and make sure the job went well and collect a check. I don't care who collects it. I just want it collected when the job is done, not a month or two later. And if you think about it, if a customer thinks, okay, they didn't care enough to get paid and you get a bill, you know, 30, 60, 90 days later, which I've seen, then guess what? I'll take 30, 60, 90 days to pay. I found one job, no joke, of the contractor that I visited in August who found a job from last November that had never been billed. What do you think that customer's going to think? They billed it, and I'm curious to see how long that customer is going to take to pay it. So here's what I suggest you do. I suggest you have job folders, and they can be electronic now, or they can be paper. I prefer that you have a stamp on the folder if it is paper so that you can record a job number, the date the permit was pulled, the installation date, the date the financing was submitted, warranty submission dates, billing dates, and payment dates. So you can put all relevant paperwork in it, put the pictures in there, and take 10 minutes each week to review the job folders. This way, things won't fall into the cracks again. Okay. So I spent a lot of time talking about that last session, so I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this one, but just make sure that the paperwork for all finance jobs gets submitted and make sure that every job gets billed. Number two is to make sure you complete weekly cash flow reports. Weekly cash flow reports let you see how much cash and receivables have come in during the week, as well as the disbursements for the week. It also allows you to plan for the following week's inputs and outgoes. And this is what the weekly cash flow report is. So imagine a tank of water. And in that tank of water, there's a spigot that allows more water to come in and a drain that drains water out. Now, instead of water in the tank, we have cash. So there's a certain level of cash in the tank, and that's the level of cash at the beginning of the week. This is the amount of cash that you have in your checking accounts, in petty cash, in any liquid investments, that you can, savings accounts that you can get to very, very quickly. And during the week, you open the spigot and you get cash in the door. So you get cash in the door from collections. It's not the sale, it's the collections. That's why billing and receiving cash is so important that we talked about in number one. But it's the collections of the sale. You might, in slower times of the year, take money on your line of credit and take a loan against that and put money in. You might have sold a truck or some other asset, and that's cash in the door. Or you might get a little itty bit of interest that we get on our savings accounts these days. Not a lot, but still a couple cents or a couple of dollars is a couple of dollars more. And so all week long, the spigot is open and cash is flowing in, and the level of cash in the tank rises. At the end of the week, we shut off the spigot. And that's the total amount of cash that we have available for the week. Then we have to open the drain. We've got payroll for the week. We may have a rent payment. We probably have accounts payable that we pay of some way, shape, or form. And the level of cash in the tank is dropping. Close the drain, and you have money left at the end of the month. Or excuse me, the end of the week. And you can do this monthly, too. Generally, I'll do this every single week, but it works in a week, it works in a month, it works in a year, you know, whatever period of time that you like. But the weekly cash flow report, let's do it every single week. And then you have a certain level of cash that's left in the tank at the end of the week, which becomes the beginning amount of cash you have in the tank for the next week. So the weekly cash flow report just reports how much you started with, how much came in, and how much went out. And it also looks at what the expectation is for next week. So what do you think is going to come in next week? And that's usually the guess, but you know what payroll is pretty closely. You know what bills have to be paid. So you know what's coming in, you hope. You definitely know what's going out. And if you add the amount that you have, what you think's coming in and what's going out, there better be cash left in the tank. Otherwise, you're in trouble. And it's much better to do this on a Friday afternoon so that you can make sure that there's enough cash for the following week rather than your bookkeeper knocking on your door Wednesday and payroll is due Thursday going, we don't have enough cash for payroll. Not fun. That's never fun. So what we want to do is to make sure that the weekly cash flow reports get done in good times and bad, in busy times and slow times, so that you can see the flow of cash through your business. And quite frankly, this is one way that we have found people stealing from companies, by the amount of cash that's supposedly been taken in. One final thought. When you're putting the amount of cash coming in, I put it in from credit cards, and I put it, some companies still get cash in the door, and some come in through receivables. And I list those three out simply because you want to know how much cash is actually coming in your door. If you'd like a copy of the weekly cash flow report, I'll tell you how to get it at the end of this podcast. Okay, when we get back, I'll give you the last three critical cash procedures when it's hot and even when it's not. We'll be right back. I've seen my clients' salespeople struggle when a customer asks why they should use your company rather than the competition when your price is higher and you both are proposing the same equipment. I've seen technicians struggle when customers ask them whether they should replace an 18-year-old air conditioner. And most salespeople and technicians never ask the one question that most customers are concerned about, yet never ask. Can I trust you? I found a tool that gives your salespeople and technicians the ammunition to answer this question and more. And the tool works. How do I know? 68% of my clients are using it to increase sales and referrals. What is it? A trust book with your name on it as the author. More details are at hvactrustbooks.com. Warning, there is only one contractor per area that can get these great books. Some areas are already taken. They've gone to my clients. If you want your area and want to have a tool for your salespeople and technicians to increase referrals and sales, then go to hvactrustbooks.com now and reserve your area.
Don't let this happen to you. Here's a transcript of an email sent to Ruth King. Dear Ruth, I wish I had this book 2 years ago. I discovered my bookkeeper had embezzled over $200,000 from the company. I used to be debt-free. Now I have a mortgage and payments on other debt I incurred to relieve the cash flow crunch caused by the embezzlement. Don't let this sad situation be your story too. An epidemic of workplace thievery and embezzlement harms today's business world, our economy, and ultimately your income and net worth. Discover the top 50 ways employees and vendors steal from you in Ruth King's new book, The Ugly Truth About Cash. Ruth also gives you the procedures to implement to help prevent embezzlement and keep the honest people honest. Find The Ugly Truth About Cash on Amazon or go to www.thecouragetobeprofitable.com to order an autographed copy of Ruth's book. Get the information you need to protect your hard-earned cash and assets. That's thecouragetobeprofitable.com.
We're back. Thanks for listening to Contractor Sense. Before the break, we talked about the first two critical cash procedures, making sure that all paperwork for all finance jobs gets submitted and making sure that all the jobs get billed. And number two, making sure that you complete a weekly cash flow report. Number three is to make sure that the person receiving the checks notes on the paperwork that he or she has received the checks or any field money. You know, I've had customers pay contractors with a brown paper bag that had $8,000 of cash in it. True story. A restaurant owner, a Chinese restaurant owner, had a unit replaced on his roof, and he handed the salesperson a brown paper sack with $8,000 of cash in it. That cash went immediately into the bank. The salesperson came running back to the shop and said, "Here, it's yours. I don't want to be responsible for $8,000. And I didn't blame him. But, you know, sometimes your service technicians get cash, and sometimes it'll be credit cards, and sometimes it will be checks. But if they get cash, you need to figure out what the limit amount of cash is that they can have. And another funny story is a contractor said to me, "Well, my techs never get cash, so I don't have to worry about that." Guess what? That day, one of his tech's customers paid him with $500 in cash. So I just looked at the contractor, and he just looked at me, and I said, "You never, ever, ever know." All right. So what I suggest, especially now since most people are on tablets and all credit card payments are done electronically, so there's really little paper, is that you go to an office supply store like Office Depot or Staples or something like that, and you buy those plastic colored envelopes, and you buy two. So each technician has, let's say one technician has the red envelopes. One week he puts all of his checks and paperwork and things like that in the envelope. He hands it in. The person gives him the second envelope, which is also red. So we know that George, for example, has the red envelopes, Steve has the green envelopes, and Paul has the blue envelopes, for example. And we keep it rotated that way. You'll do the colored envelope simply because it's bright. They're not going to lose it. And you're going to make sure that it all gets turned in. So if you're still using paper, make sure that they have staplers. Staple the cash to the paperwork, staple the check to the paperwork, and this way you know that it doesn't go floating around in a parking lot, because I've seen checks floating around in parking lots where technicians have sworn that they turned in the paperwork and the check was not attached and it got loose in the parking lot. You can't call a customer and say, "Well, you know, it's written on it, paid check number so-and-so. Well, we never got the check." Doesn't work well that way. So either have plastic envelopes where the techs put all of their cash or all of their checks in, or staple it to the paperwork if you're still doing things by paper. Number four is to stamp checks for deposit only with your account number as soon as you get them. Stamping checks for deposit only without an account number does absolutely no good. So this absolutely helps ensure that the checks go into the account that you want them to go into. If somebody walks into your office, and I've had that happen, and steals the checks, they're much more difficult to cash. And if someone has set up a checking account with a similar sounding company, that's happened too, it will be difficult to deposit those checks in that account. So when whomever's opening the mail has a stamp that says "for deposit only" and the account number that you want, and then they turn that into the person who will be going to the bank. It makes life a lot easier and very difficult to cash a check that got stolen. And the last thing I want to talk about is now that it is the time to save. And as Jim Rohn says, let's be like a squirrel, and I want you to save all 1% of all the cash that comes in the door. This is your rainy day fund. And at this time of year, you're probably not going to miss the 1%. So every time you make a deposit in your checking account, write a check for 1% of that total for your savings account, or make an electronic transfer which happens more often these days than actually writing a check, unless your checking account for your savings, unless your savings account is at another bank and it's not tied to your operating account. Most of the times, initially, the 1% rainy day fund is actually tied to your operating account. The other thing that I would hope that you are doing is to save at least half of your maintenance agreement dollars that come in the door. Many of the customers who are on monthly recurring billing actually just take the monthly recurring billing amounts and put them into a savings account. And instead of it being transferred into the operating account, they've instructed the bank to take those deposits and transfer them into their savings account, which they see actually building up pretty quickly. Now, here's my plea to you. You have 20, 50, 100, 200,000, whatever, or more in your savings accounts, and you've had a really phenomenal year, and you really want to reward yourself. Don't go to the big boys or the big girls toy store with the money that's in your savings account. This is your rainy day fund. Yes, if you think you can take a piece of it or a small piece of it and reward yourself, I have nothing against rewarding yourself. I think it's really something to do that is, you know, a thank you and a feel good for all the hard work that you've put in. But you don't want to jeopardize your whole business by totally eliminating your rainy day fund. And you think, I'd never do that. Well, I've seen a few boats purchased. I've seen some really phenomenal cars purchased. I've seen some really phenomenal trips purchased and draining a rainy day account. And the following winter, guess what? They had cash flow problems. So keep the money in your rainy day fund. It really is important to have at least, from my opinion, at least 4 to 6 weeks, if not more, of total operating expenses, i.e. overhead, in your savings accounts at all times. So many companies are not comfortable unless they have 6 months. It depends upon what your risk appetite is. Up to you. But don't drain your rainy day fund to do something fun. Not a good idea. Okay, so these are the 5 critical cash procedures when it's hot and even when it's not. So we can start thinking like squirrels and putting the money away. And that's 5, so saving 1% of all cash that comes in the door and making sure that you save all your maintenance, your residential maintenance dollars. 4 is to stamp checks for deposit only with your account number as soon as you get them. 3 is make sure that the person receiving the checks from your field personnel notes on the paperwork that he or she has received the cash or checks or the red envelope, so to speak. And then make sure that you complete a weekly cash flow report. And last but not least was to make sure that all the paperwork for all finance jobs got submitted and make sure that all bills get billed. So make sure that you do this in good times and in bad times and in busy times and in slow times. Thank you for joining us. Choose one thing that you discovered and implement it in your business. These ideas, tactics, and strategies help you make more money, have more free time, and give back. If you like today's program, spread the word. Please review this podcast on any device you're listening to it on. Help a fellow contractor make more money too. If you'd like a copy of the weekly cash flow report, or for comments or suggestions, call me at 770-729-0258 or email ruthking@hvacchannel.tv. RUTHKING @hvacchannel.tv. Thanks for listening. Have a great and profitable day.